this day and forever. In Jesus' name we'll always pray. Amen.
Amen.
We will now have our
tell you all is, I appreciate you all coming from the bottom of my heart. You know, just about everybody that I asked to come came, except for some people who got to bring their dogs. I told them, we ain't gonna go there. Toyota took some of them out from there, but everybody just about that I asked.
Thank you. to King's Christian Academy. And would you ever come to?
Books, I do radio, and I do everything I can so people can know who the real Jesus is. next year, because she doesn't need anything. Amen. So my daughter can see how to serve a woman in this
family.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
My name is Kenesha Boyd. I'm in my late 20s. I grew up at First Baptist Church in Nicholasville, so I know a lot of people in here. But currently I'm a member of Total Grace Baptist Church. I'm a teacher, and I'm currently being promoted to education coordinator.
Amen.
Second thing, it's okay to say no.
Yes.
I don't know why in the body of Christ you feel like we can't say no. It's not a sin. You're not going to hell. God still loves you. You can say no for your sanity. Amen. The third thing is, before I'm anything else, I'm a mother. So I will cancel meetings. I won't go to expected events. I won't do what people think I should do if my children need me. Because you only have one child. You only get one chance, so you have to get it right the first time. Lastly, I'm very organized. I plan my day before my day starts. I know what I'm going to do. So again, that's where the no comes in. Rashawn, do you have time to do that? No, because this is what I'm doing today. Now, if you want to get on my schedule, talk to my assistant. Let's go forward.
When you get a mate, keep your business private. Early on, make the bylaws about the in-laws. Everybody can't be in your marriage if you want it to be successful. And love God and have a wonderful life.
Part one of the panel questions and answers is for everyone also. And we'll start with you. Can you share with us one of your most difficult life experiences and how you come to it?
My daughter and I are co-authoring a book called 365 Days of the Pack, But God. So, you know, it's not just one thing. There's been many things. I had to survive a divorce, I'm a divorce survivor. I raised my children on my own. I've been a woman in ministry for over 30 years. I've had a lot of hurdles. So I'll tell you what I've learned from the hurdles. Maybe that would be a better place for me to be. Without struggle, there's no strength. Without struggle, when you take away the struggle, you take away the strength. Because you have to learn in your life that trouble is going to happen, even to good people. And a lot of people don't understand, well, I'm good, so why do things happen to me? So the unsaved people can know that you have something to lean on, put on from. It's very important for you to let them know, yes, I am going through a struggle. I don't have to look like I'm going through a struggle. But the Bible says that we overcome by the word of the Lamb and the power of the testimony. The power of your testimony that you don't get any other way if you don't have trouble in your life. So I don't ask trouble to come, but I'm prepared. When it does come, I know exactly where to go, and that's to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
So I've already talked about it a little bit, but the divorce that I went through was the most difficult and most rewarding things of my life. At the time that my husband came home and told me that he thought that we should prepare to be apart, I was a stay-at-home mom with two kids. Like, whoa, wait. And of course, oh my goodness. And then I remember always praying to God that he would rectify that relationship. You know, Lord, help me to hold on to this man. I got to have this man. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. What I can say is, when I started, that's when I started walking. You know, just spending time with more and more with God, just walking. Just looking at things for the blessings of Jesus. And he changed my prayer of mind. Let me be with that man. Give me your peace. And when I changed my prayer to give me your peace, Lord, to accept whatever your will is for my life, that's when everything changed. And I'm telling you, you got it. This life, I was like helping him move. But not with, he said, I don't have a microwave. I went to school, I bought a microwave. I went to Walmart, I bought a dishes. I went to the house, we moved stuff into the house. We still have a great relationship because we have two kids to raise together. And our spouses don't necessarily understand it or don't like it, but that's on them. Because God gave me that peace with him so that we can continue to raise these boys together. And so I say that when I allow God to speak to me,
man. Okay, I'm going to tell y'all something that my mom said I'm cringe about. I can sit here and wax wonderful and say all the great things that I've done, but when I was 19 years old, I got two felonies, and I almost went to prison for 25 years. And that was the hardest thing that I've ever been through in my entire life. I went from the jail to corporate America to own my own business. So when people tell me it is not possible, I don't believe them. When people tell me the power of prayer and money doesn't work, I don't believe them. I say all that to say, it doesn't matter how you start. I have so many of my friends that are still in the streets. They're still doing stuff. They're still selling dope. They're still doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And I'm getting corporate money to fund things for my community at this point in time. I'm able to help them become a better person, help them to get jobs, help them to get what they need for their children. So if I say anything to anybody, don't let anything stop you.
This past, not But I'll give you a little bit of background about myself. I used to do pageants as a child. Once I got to college, I started modeling. I was in magazines, some fashion shows, things like that. Now I'm a teacher at Teach Kindergarten. And I feel like I had this nice life. You know, I felt like I was pretty. You know, I got everything that I wanted or needed. I was good looks and things like that. So, you know, I don't want to admit it, but it's true. And this past April, you might have seen it in the bio about me, but this past April, I was in a car wreck. And in that car wreck, it was really bad. I was riding with my best friend. I've been knowing her since I was 3 years old. We were friends since we were three. We met in preschool since we were three. And a little bit before then, I felt like God was trying to separate me from, I feel like, a fast lifestyle that I've been living. We had been going to parties a lot, and it wasn't even anything that bad, but I just had this feeling that I need to cut this person off from my life. But at the same time, I've been knowing her since I was 3 years old. So I was like, God, I just think this is what you want, because this was my best friend. I brought her to church with me. A lot of my church family knows her as well. But there was just signs before that. So she had cut my hair when trying to help me take my hair down. And just little different signs, you know. And then we were coming back from school to Lexington, and we were on Shelbyville Road. And I usually will not always drive. And she said, you know what, I got you, Misha, you know, I'll drive the car. Well, as we were going down the road, I feel a bump, and so I wake up as I was dozing off, and she was like, oh, I'm sorry, I hit the guardrail. But then I see her quickly swerve back, and that's the last thing I remember, and so the car just went in circles, and it flipped, I was told, 7 or 8 times, and I went unconscious. I woke up in the ambulance, and once I did, my whole face was gone. All the skin on my face was gone. The picture that I actually posted was pictures after healing, but this happened in April. So I just felt like everything that was getting me by in life and made life a little bit easier for me was gone. My looks were gone. My brand new car that I had bought off myself was gone. And I just felt like I had lost everything. I couldn't walk. I had 4 back fractures. I had a broken wrist, my right hand, and I'm right-handed, so I couldn't write. And so I just felt like I literally had lost everything. And I feel like I almost started to lose my faith, because I was like, why me, God? I was the only person in the car injured. She got a black eye from the airbag, and the guy I was dating at the time, he didn't walk out without a scratch, and I'm the only one that had anything happen to me in the car. So I just kept saying to him, why me? Why do I have to go through this? And it discouraged me for a while, maybe a week or so, but I felt like I didn't have, my parents were really, they were kind of upset, and my mom, she was so hurt that she didn't even look at me because my face was so bad. And so I was literally by myself. And in that time that I was by myself, I want to say it was probably about 2 weeks. I just kept praying and trying to understand why I'm going through this. But the whole time, God was just telling me, you know, I got you, I got you. And at the same time, I was still like, how do you have me? I can't walk, I can't write, I can't work, I can't do any of this. And my face is gone, I can't show my face in public, any of that. But the whole time I did keep praying, and my dad's a pastor. At a church in Hopkins, called Mount Zion. And so he was calling me every day and telling me, just pray. You know, this is your test. This is your test. And all the time, I still felt like I wasn't getting an answer. What he did tell me was, whenever you're going through a test, the teacher is always quiet until you work out the answers yourself. And so I felt like, because I wasn't hearing him, I still decided to keep on working, keep on making, because I was for a reason. And within that 2 week span, I finally get up, because I wasn't even able to look at myself in the mirror. And I got up, and it was like, my face had been healed. I had scabs, of course, in certain spots, but my face had been healed. And I was like, thank you, God, I could walk. Thank you, God. But I still was going to physical therapy and things like that, and they didn't find anything wrong haven't broken prison for the last about, I don't know, it's still broken, but I'm going for electric shock therapy, so that's good, the surgery. But it's just like, it happened all of a sudden. I went to work, I told my friends, and they were just like, well, how can you do this? You know, how are you out right now? How is your face like that? I said, it's God. It's all God. I give it all to God. I was in the cast for 13 weeks and it didn't heal. And the doctor was telling me, you know, the only thing left to me was surgery. But I kept praying because that's not what I want. I don't want a metal rod through my hand. I was only 26 at the time. So I just felt like that prayer did change things. And I felt like that it was my testimony to let my friends know. I cut that friend off. And she didn't even check on me during that whole time. So I cut that friend off and I let them know, you know, you can have everything because where I modeled, I'm around a lot of Christian people, and I let them know now because I still model. I'm thanking God for His grace and mercy because my face, you can't even tell that I went through what I went through. You all did not see my face. My face was bad. I had no skin on my face. So it happened in April. I think I want to say I started modeling in May or early June, and I let them know, you know, it's God, you can have everything. I had a car paid off. I mean, thank God He replaced that. I have a brand new car paid off, but I had a car paid off. I had a pretty face, you know, I could walk the walk as a model. I did it all, and it was all gone within a night. And you can, it doesn't matter who you think you are or what you think you're doing, you did not do that by yourself. It was God. Always have Him and depend on Him and trust on Him. Because here I am, I thought I had it all and I lost it all. And now I have it all back tenfold. I think that was basically the most difficult thing that's ever happened in my life, to be solely by myself and to not have any help, to not have what really I felt like got me through life, not to depend on anybody but Him. So,
thank you.
your favorite thing about church?
I know.
When he started preaching, I was like, oh, God, you got me married to a preacher. What's this? And then when he started preaching, I was like, well, I hope he's one of those pastors that I enjoy listening to.
Facebook is real. And I'm going to tell y'all why I'm saying that. Everybody says it's just social media. It's just social media. 2.8 billion people log on to social media every day. It's not just social media. Social media now pays me full time. It's not just social media. So you can use it for good. I do a lot of networking. I meet a lot of business clients. I hire people through Facebook, giving people jobs through Facebook. So a lot of people come out and say, Facebook is evil and whatever, what have you, it's what you make it. I don't do drama, I don't do beef, I don't talk crazy to people on Facebook because eventually I may need them. So use it wisely.
Do you want
And your story and my story, yeah, like, but how good God. My question is, how can you all testify and struggle of these, like, Christian girls in their fashion show, and they're really hurt with a whole world? But how can you, if there's somebody in this audience that's going through what you like, and they can, and even if your divorce is up, yours is divorced and yours is divorced, they're not telling you to go divorce your man. So,
you're going to have to be around people like Jackie, and I don't know all the ladies in this congregation, but, you know, you're going to have to get around people that know how to speak life. Everybody doesn't know how to speak life. Once you hear life, life will start to bud again on the inside of you. Once you keep it, then you start reading the Word of God. When I was young, I cut my teeth on a penny, so I mean, I had to be really, really young. But the only thing I could understand was the Psalms and the Proverbs. That's all I could understand, so that's all I read. But I would read Proverbs every day, praying for wisdom. And now I'm like this old lady that has wisdom, you know what I mean? But you're going to have to, yeah, you're going to have to bring your life back. I see life has been taken from you. And don't worry about grieving. You have to grieve. I just lost my best friend in 27 years, and I allowed myself to grieve that. I allowed myself to cry, be sad, but I knew I couldn't stay there. Because if you stay in grief too long, death will occur. And you don't want that to occur. So, right. And one day, what you're living through right now is going to bless somebody. One day, God is reading those tears that are coming out of your eyes. And one day, you're going to tell your story, but you're going to tell it with laughter. And you know that that's why you went through this, so you can help someone else. Talk about them, the stronger my voice got. So one of the reasons that I preach on dominion is to say, you have something to offer this generation verbally. It's not always about the aesthetics. Sometimes it's about what you say. And if you know the word, you can speak the word. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. All we're doing is talking about the word and leading people to Jesus. But a lot of people feel like that they can't use their voice for one reason or another. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, Jesus came was to set the captives free. And those that don't know they have a voice are still in captivity. And I feel like part of my mantle is to set the captives free.
Anyone else?
Just like you consider the feelings of everybody else, your feelings matter too. Something that my mom always tells me, you cannot pour from an empty cup. So I tell people, you can have sips from my saucer, but you can't have what's in my cup, because what's in my cup sustains me. So if I can't sustain myself, I can't sustain you. So I'm telling you right now, guess what? I had a project with my 15-year-old kid, my daughter had softball practice. I had to meet with 7 people today. Guess what? I can't put you on the list. And if they don't respect that, they don't respect you. So you need to be comfortable with saying no without an explanation. If I tell you no, that means no. I'm sorry, I can't do it. Are you available on this day? Let me pick my calendar. Yeah, I got 7 meetings. No. And once you get comfortable by saying that, people will start respecting that about you. Oh, we know she's busy, so maybe I'm going to ask somebody else. Maybe I can do this myself. So again, you just have to teach people how to treat you. You have to teach people that it's okay to say no, and we don't have to fall out of that. Yeah, we do. This is our Lord, but I'm still going to get my rest. Amen.
Sometimes if you look on my Facebook page, you'll see that I say no, just practicing.
Because it is something that is difficult for me as well, but I heard a quote once that said, I can say yes to you and no to me. Or I can say, I can say no to me and yes to you. So it's a matter of, and you know that your no is not coming from a place of vindictiveness. Like you said, you know, I've run a crazy calendar just like she does. And I realized that I have to take time for me. And so when I say no, I don't say so willingly. You know, like, just, oh, no, girl, I ain't doing that for you. No, I mean, it's something that if I'm saying no, it's really, I cannot possibly take on another thing. One of the things that I do with my CEO, which he's notorious for keeping me going and going and going, just 2 days ago, he said, Miss, I need you to come and help me look through these boxes and organize this issue. Okay, I've got 3 grants and 2 reports that keep money coming into us so that we can continue to be an organization. So I told him those things. I've got this. Now, do you really want me to take away from that in order to help you look through the boxes? And he said, no, go ahead and see what you're doing. I know. I mean, but it's something that helped me say no to him in a way that he understood. And you have to be willing to say yes to you. If I said yes to Ms. Jackie, but then I'm angry, whatever, you know, all this back talk, then that means that was the wrong answer for me. I should have said, no, I'm sorry, I thank you for inviting me, but I can't do that. So it's just a matter of where's your no coming from? You know your no is coming from a good place,
insecurity.
Do you think it's getting here and get over it?
Yes.
What we say yes to.
Right.
I have to be very intentional about what I say yes to. I say no without apology. I say no without apology because I know my no is never coming from a bad place. My no is coming from I have another obligation. I have something else to do. No, you can't have that time. And I don't say no and then explain. And then people will respect either to contact you earlier, get on your calendar earlier, or they start to adjust. Some things they can do. Sometimes my daughter calls me to do things, and I don't answer the phone because I know she can do it. I know she's capable of it. She just knows it comes to me. So, you know, I'm not sitting on that conference call. You know, I had a rough day today, and then she'll get through the conference call and say, you know what? I didn't even need you. Oh, bless the Lord, you know. It's just a matter of how you train people in your know.
Sure.
to know what other people have to do and what people like that. He gonna let you know that. You know, I was only that for the spot, as you mentioned, something like that. But like I said, you need to work together. You are united at one. It's not at one. But I expect him, you expect me, and I thank God.
Amen.
Okay, anyone else? You're not getting hurt. Anyone else? You really truly cannot thank the panelists enough for sharing this.
Let him worry about the results. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.